So today I want to tell you a couple of stories. Stories based in this world. Real stories that Estelle and I have experienced over the years. And to be honest, 30 years ago, people would have thought these were straight from a soap opera on TV. And then I want to contrast these stories with the millennial equivalent that we are going to see. Unfortunately, the stories that I'm going to start with are not isolated incidents. All of us here probably know similar sort of instances. In the millennium, there will be no more broken families. To start with, the first story, it was a cold and dark night, and there was a knock on the door at 2 a.m. The girl stood outside, 17 years old, on the doorstep, shivering and scared. She had a nightdress on and a coat. She simply said, "Estelle, I don't know where to go. My dad has just tried to kill me." This was just before Estelle and I got married, and the lady in question here was knocking on Mr. and Mrs. Bowles' front door. The girl had only known Estelle for a couple of weeks because they had been on work placement together. But it turns out that her father had been, in his heyday, a henchman for one of the notorious London gangsters, the Cray brothers. Over the next couple of years, we got to know this girl quite well and learned a lot about her family life, or the total and utter lack of it. For me, growing up in the family, life was often very quiet because my mum suffered from migraines and the house was quite quiet over those times when mum was ill. But my sister and I grew up in a loving family. We always had food on the table, clothes to wear, love and concern from my parents, which every child needs. Apart from the one or two swats on my backside, which I know I probably did deserve, there was never even a concept that a parent would hurt a child. And that's the way it should be. Growing up in the church had always been for me a great time. Often staying at other people's homes for weekends, out on church activities, SEP, YOU events. Yeah, I was the odd one out at school because, hey, he went to church on Saturdays and he doesn't keep Christmas. But growing up in that family environment and with the church environment was absolutely wonderful. Last year, after returning from the feast, a friend of the family, aged 19, was made homeless when she was kicked out by her family, by her mum and her stepdad. Her mother often sadly told Sally, yes, names have been changed, that I should have had you terminated when I had the chance. How does that make a child growing up feel? Her parents also took out credit cards in her name and ran up $6,000 worth of debt, which she's got to pay off. And then they kicked her out of the family home when she challenged them about it. Sally now shares a bedroom with my eldest daughter. Lucifer, the bringer of light, had been charged by God to prepare this earth for the very family of God, mankind. He could have been one of the key beings in the very education and growth of the God family. But instead of preparing a safe world, a safe environment for God's children to grow up in, he created a twisted and warped world which was inhospitable to mankind. Even after God recreated the world back in Genesis, Satan went straight for that family unit and destroying the husband and wife relationship. Down through the ages, he has done everything possible to destroy the family. And what we see now as the family of today, or the total and utter lack of it, is one of the pinnacles of his destruction. The third story starts with a family, husband and wife, three children. Dad had an affair, and the lady gets pregnant, who promptly goes back to Poland, where she was from. That unborn child will never see her father. Dad was kicked out by the mum, but he takes the youngest daughter with him and moves in with another lady and starts a second family. That family unit is now totally and utterly smashed. Mum gets lonely and after a while moves in with her mistress, leaving her 15-year-old son and 10-year-old daughter to be raised by each other. Mum pops in a couple of days a week to make sure there is food and electricity. But when the middle daughter turned to 13. The older brother was unable to continue to raise the young girl turning into ladyhood. And so she moved back in with her father and stepmom. Now, James, the elder brother, was now the only person living in a three-bed home, council house. So the council kicked him out. So he had to move into a one-bed flat, which was costing him pretty much every penny that he earned each month. Stella and I have got to know this young lad over the last few years, and so we said to him, look, move in, 6 months, 12 months, get yourself back on your feet, and then you can start moving forward again. Just as he was in the process of moving in, the father kicked Lucy, the middle daughter, back out to stay with their mum so that he could prove that he was the better parent. How's that for warped thinking? So Lucy was basically homeless. So he said, Isabel's got a spare bed in her bedroom. Come and move in with us. She is now our foster daughter because she is a minor. And in the words of the social worker dealing with this case, she's one of the fortunate ones. She's not a child at risk. How much worse is it? How totally and utterly sad. There are 11 people in that family unit, in three separate family units now, with problems beyond belief. According to the United States Census Bureau in 2016, 11 million single parent families exist. 2.5 million children are not living with either parent. As it always said, it always said that in your childhood you should have no cares in the world. But in today's society, the vast majority of children, that is no longer the case. It says in Psalm 22:6, we don't need to turn there because we know this, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is older, he won't depart from it. What are we teaching our children today? Unfortunately, the vast majority of children in this world are being taught how to lie, how to cheat, how parents will desert them, to fight over them, to use them as objects, to treat them as an inconvenience and worthless. People of this age are lovers of themselves and pleasures and the pleasure, and they are unloving because they do not love God. In the millennium, we will be helping parents to teach their children, teach them in love, teach them according to God's laws. Mothers will teach their daughters how to live, how to run a home and how to care, how to love, not saying to them, I should have had you terminated when I had the chance. I want to show you a picture of what home life should be like for a child in the millennium, setting the right example for the children in the house, showing by example that loving, caring family unit that is there or will be there. Please turn with me to Proverbs 31, because here we see a family unit that is working very well. We know this as the virtuous wife. Starting in verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and the hands hold the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor. Yes, she reaches out for her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gate when he sits amongst the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the weight of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hand, and let her own words praise her in the gates. Will it always be like this, mister, in your house? In the millennial family home, it will be like that in every single house there is. Just contrast that household with the one of Lucy and James I mentioned to you earlier. This is a family unit that children need to grow up in. Children in the millennium will grow up in these houses. In today's society, in the USA, 62% of mothers have to work outside the family home or choose to work outside the family home. How can that environment, that family unit, work in today's broken structure? About 6 months ago, one Friday evening, Sally, the girl who should have been terminated, cooked us a meal, and she was happy, over the moon. It was the first meal she had ever cooked. In the Proverbs family here, she would have been taught from a little girl how to prepare a meal, how to run a family. James said to me when he was 18, I just want to go and climb a tree and sit there. I've never had the chance because I've had too many responsibilities. The millennial child won't be raising his younger sister and running a home at the age of 15. They'll be off playing in the woods with the lions and the lambs, or playing in the streets, as it says in Zechariah 8, and nothing will make them afraid. They will be spending time, quality time, with their fathers learning the trade, with their mothers learning the art of homemaking, and with their extended families all around. In the millennium, there will be families who truly understand that children are a blessing from God and not an inconvenience. And we'll turn, please, to Psalms 127. Just starting in verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. And dropping down to Psalm 128, starting in verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, the foundation point, who walks in his ways. When you eat of the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Children are not an inconvenience. They are a blessing for God. When Lucy formally became our foster daughter last month, I said to her, I cannot be your dad, but I will be a father to you. Estelle, she cannot be your mother, your mum, but she will be a mother to you. And your home will be here for as long as you want it. She promptly burst into tears and gave me one of those hugs so tight for about 20 minutes. Soon, and I mean very soon, that will be a thing of the past. Just imagine the hug that she will give her real parents one day when they are resurrected, when Satan won't be around, and they will finally understand what a family is. Children, all children, will have that stability. Families will have stability. The hearts of the fathers will be turned to the children, because the families will be based on that right foundation. Turn, please, in closing to Isaiah 54. It was read the other day, but it is so important it needs to be read again. Isaiah 54, verse 13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. How awesome a promise is that from our Heavenly Father.